has risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that
enjoyed that song. Long trumpet sound. Can't see my chains anymore. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that you loosed us from those chains. Lord, not in a piecemeal way, Lord, but all together. Lord, loosed us from them. And Lord, we are alive in you. And Lord, we cannot be more thankful. Lord, we pray that you'll bless the word this morning to our hearts. Speak to us, Lord, from it. It is the only thing that can satisfy this holy thirst, Lord. And we long for it, Lord. And from Jerusalem is where the living waters would come, Lord. Jerusalem, Lord, our mother, God. Lord, may you speak to us from the word this morning. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Good to see everybody, and good to be back, and trust everybody had a good time while they were away, and we definitely enjoyed getting away. And Katrina, she kind of surprised me where we were going, but I enjoyed. I'd never been to see any of that, and at least if I have, I don't remember. And it was very good. Sometimes maybe we'll talk about it a little bit, but this morning I want to continue from where we left off in 67, and to do that I want to go back over some of the things that we had went over there in 67, so that they're fresh on our minds as we start to go into these other things. But I've just so enjoyed this study, and I believe the Lord will bless it to us this morning. All right, so this is from the message, Spoken Word is the Original Seed, paragraph 430. Brother Branham, and we went over this the last time, and I just wanted to point out a few of these things first before we start into the other. But God has promised, be careful, he says. God has promised Malachi 4 for this last day, and Malachi 4 has not yet been fulfilled. Now, this is in 1962, but it must be fulfilled. Malachi 4 must be fulfilled because it is Jeremiah's word of God spoken through the Malachi, the prophet. Now, not only is he telling us about that that's supposed to happen now, but he's also telling us something about words that come through the prophet. They're germatized, word of God spoken through. And so they have to happen. And that's why a lot of times I don't understand when people say they have to take it back to the Bible and they start to say this about Brother Branham and that about Brother Branham. They have no idea what they're talking about. Because if he was the prophet, which we believe he was, he was the Elijah for this day, the one he's talking about here, then that was the germatized word of God that come through him. And when we say that we're predestinated, the scripture, Brother Ram says, we're predestinated with that prophet. We're the ones who receive that germatized word that comes through the prophet. And we're predestinated together. And so just want to hold that thought as we go through here. Jesus referred to it. It is to be just before the coming of Christ the second time that this is fulfilled. Christ the second time. Listen close now. All scripture that has not been fulfilled must be fulfilled that time. The Bible is to be finished, to be finished. The Gentile dispensation is to be finished. With the church age, when the anointed messenger arrives. So it had to finish while he was here. Of course, he will plant the seed of the entire Bible. Plumb from the serpent to the messenger in the former rain. What did he just say a while ago? The Bible's to be finished. And he'll plant the seed. Now he just said Malachi's word was germatized seed. Now he comes here and he says that Malachi will plant the seed of the entire Bible. The germatized seed of the entire Bible will be planted through Malachi. Plumb from the serpent to the messenger in the former rain. Then he will be rejected by the denominational people as his forefather, John and Elijah, as was spoken by our Lord. People, as Elijah was the first time, to Ahab's time, it will happen here in this country. As this country is a type of Israel, now he's going to place where this happens and what's going on when it happens. Read or hear Jezebel religion. As this country, our forefathers, for worship the way they wanted to, come to this country and pushed out the natives and took over. So did Israel take over when they come up out of Egypt. We had godly men like Washington, Lincoln. They had great godly men as David and so forth. Then they got an Ahab on the throne with a Jezebel behind him to direct him. Now you remember, you go look and see what Brother Branham said about Kennedy and about her, about Jacqueline. Was that her name, Jacqueline? To direct him. So have we. So it's at this time when this happens. It's at this time when this is to be finished. In this country that this person will appear. For it's in the scripture and it's thus saith the Lord. That is in the scripture. Think about it. Then in the latter rain, there will come forth a... So he sowed up to the former rain. And in the latter rain, after he's rejected, then in the latter rain, there will come forth a Mount Carmel, a showdown. Remember what Mount Carmel was? Y'all remember what that was? When Elijah got out there with those prophets and said, why don't you call a little harder? Maybe he's, you know, going off doing something, making fun of their God. Mount Carmel, Bible, a showdown, Bible fulfilled to the letter. What did he just say a while ago? He'll sow the seed of the entire Bible from the serpent to the former rain. And he goes down here and he says, after he's rejected, this is when it happens. For it thus saith the Lord. Then in the latter rain will come forth a Mount Carmel, a showdown, Bible fulfilled to the letter. That's the showdown, the Bible fulfilled to the letter. John the Baptist, the messenger before his face, and who is the entire, Brother Bram said, when the seals come open on the Bible, it was the revelation of Jesus Christ. And in order to fulfill it, it has to be Jesus Christ. His messenger before his face in Malachi 3, planted a former rain and was rejected by the churches, the denominations, the Pharisees and the Sadducees in his day. Jesus came and had the Mount Transfiguration showdown. See that? The showdown. Jesus does the showdown. Jesus does the showdown. He's the only one can do the showdown. This forerunner of the last days will sow for the former rain. Jesus will be the showdown between the denominations and the creeds. So they reject him, and then there's a showdown. Jesus will be the showdown between denominations and creeds, which is his word, when he comes, a showdown, the rapture of his bride. The showdown is the rapture. The first was Mount Carmel. The first showdown was at Mount Carmel. The second was at Mount Transfiguration. The third will be Mount Zion. He said, glory. All right, so now we're going to go into the Church Ages book where he talks about some of these same things here. All right. Now, don't miss these things about the rapture and stuff. Notice the harmony of the Father and the Son. Jesus never did anything until it was first showed him by the Father. So you see what he's talking about when he's talking about the harmony. The Father shows him what he wants done, and he goes and does it. Never had he had that ever on this earth. There had every man that he had brought up in some way had let him down somewhere. But not this time. And notice the harmony of the Father and the Son. Jesus never did anything until it was first showed him by the Father. You have to be dead for that to happen. God doesn't show you things mixed with your self and your own will. There's no mixing of wills. John 5:19, this harmony is now to exist between the groom and his bride. That harmony, that she don't do anything unless he first shows her. Brother and sister, that's the seed that he has sown for us in this day. That is what we hold in our hearts, and he is bringing that to pass. He shows her the word of life, and she receives it. She never doubts it. She never doubts it. That's where the harmony is. She never doubts it. Therefore, nothing can harm her, not even death. For if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. Here is the secret of this. Here's the secret of this that he's been talking about, this harmony. The word is the bride, as the word is in the bride as it was in Mary. The bride was the mind of, has the mind of Christ, for she knows what he wants done with the word. She has the mind of Christ. And therefore, anytime he wants something said, she knows it. Do we believe that? Do we walk our lives like that, believing and knowing that? We are this. She knows, and I'm stressing that because I want to bring something else here in just a minute. She knows what he wants done with the word. She performs the command of the word. She's not wondering and questioning what he wants done. Something has been given to her that she knows his whole mind. Whatever he wants done at the moment, she knows it. She performs the command of the word in his name. And I stressed last time that she does it in his name. For she has, thus saith the Lord. Then the word is quickened by the Spirit, and it comes to pass. You notice the order that he's placing this in. She performs the command in his name. Then the word is quickened. Notice that. Don't miss that. She does it. It's like Joshua. Joshua knew what he had to do and knew what he needed, and he just felt it come to him. I don't know if he felt it, but it just spoke. Brother Bram said sometimes he spoke and he didn't think, it just came. And Joshua just spoke. Like Brother Branham said when he spoke to that man about the, about the serpent seed. He said, it's here. The man said, well, where is it? He said, it's here. He said, I just said it not knowing the answer. You see that? And that's what he's talking about when you take the word. You just say it. It's the word. Let God do the bring it to pass. There will never be a bringing to pass now outside of that way. That's the only way. It's a perfect harmony now, a union. For she has, thus saith the Lord, then the word is quickened by the Spirit, and it comes to pass. Like a seed that's planted and watered, it comes to full harvest, serving its purpose. Thus, those in the bride do only his will. No one can make them do otherwise. Brother and sister, these are promises. These are not for people to look up at and say, how can I expect to do that? How can God expect me to do that? Well, if you think God expects you to do it, you got it all wrong to start with. There's the problem. That's the problem with most people in the churches. Those in the bride do only his will. No one can make them do otherwise. They have, thus saith the Lord, or they keep still. Are we afraid to live like that? Are people afraid to? We shouldn't be. They know what it know. That it has to be God in them doing the works. They know that. And they know they don't have to make a move until he does it. Fulfilling his own word. It has to be him in them fulfilling his word. Who does his own fulfilling of his word? God. Who is his only interpreter? God. God don't need another interpreter. He did not complete all his work while in this earthly ministry, so now he works in and through the bride. Now, we're going to hit that again in just a minute. Because, you know, it looks like he's putting this off in the future. So let's find out if it's the future or not. This is in the Church Ages book. He did not complete all his work while in his earthly ministry, so now he works in and through the bride. She knows that. She knows that he works in and through her. She knows it. She don't wonder about it. There's all the doubt is gone. She knows that. For it has not yet, it was not yet time for him to do certain things that he must now do. But he will now fulfill through the bride that work which he left for this specific time. Going on down in the same message. How can you tell the spirits apart? Just give them the word test. If they don't speak the word, they're of the evil one. As the evil one deceived the first two brides, the evil one deceived As the evil one deceived the first two brides, he will try to deceive the bride of this last day. He'll try to do the same thing he done with the other two, by trying to get her to hybridize herself through creeds. Now, people think all that is just go over here and you believe this instead of believing that. And that's true. You if you go over here and you believe something besides what the word says, that's wrong. But in order to do that, in order to go over here and take something else that the word don't say, what do you have to do first? You have to interpret it. You have to not want it. You have to not think that that's exactly what it means. There's the problem. You quit depending on him to bring it to pass. Instead of just accepting what it says and believing it and letting bringing it to pass, we start trying to do it. People start trying to do it themselves. That's what it's what's wrong with people trying. They're trying to give themselves healings. They're trying to give themselves salvation. They're trying to give them do this and become the manifested sons. They're trying to do all these things. But they won't just be still and take what he said. It says the bride will be still and take what he says. Deceive the bride of this last day by trying to get her to hybridize herself through creeds. Not yield herself. Take something in her hand. Or just plainly turning from the word to any sign that suits her. Take up a creed. They don't like what this says, so they'll soothe their desire for God by taking something else. Well, these people have signs, so it must be this is okay. Look what Brother Branham says. Or they'll turning from the word to any sign that suits her. But God never placed signs ahead of the word. Signs follow the word. As when Elijah told the woman to bake a cake for him first. Now what she did there was completely on faith. That cake was for her and her son. Not only did she give up her cake, she gave up her son's cake too. Everything that's in the Bible is there for a reason. It's perfect. But she gave up both this cake and she made it and gave it to the prophet instead. She put what is the prophet? It's the word. She put the word above even herself and her family. Woman to bake a cake for him first, according to the word of the Lord. When she did as the word said, remember what we read a while ago. You read it and then he'll bring it. And you keep it and he'll bring it to pass. When she did as the word said, the proper sign came. Come to, she identified with the word, the prophet. And then the word identified with her. You see that? Don't miss that. Come to the word first. And then watch the miracle. The seed word is energized by the Spirit. How can any messenger sent from God believe only a part of the word and deny some of it? He's not sent from God. It's not possible because God doesn't send that. God sends the word. Remember what we said a while ago? That word spoke by Malachi was the germatized seed from God. And the same thing with the prophet. The true prophet of God in this last day will proclaim the whole word. Denominations will hate him. Now, did we see that? Mm-hmm. We saw it. We're not looking for it to happen. We saw it. His words will be as harsh as John the Baptist who called them vipers. But the predestinated will hear and be ready for the rapture. The royal seed of Abraham, with like faith as Abraham's, will hold to the word with him. With him. They'll hold to the word with the prophet. Remember we just pointed out about the woman with the barrel. She held to the word with the prophet. And now he's saying that this bride in this day will do the same thing. Will hold to the word with him, for they are predestinated together. The last day messenger will appear in God's appointed time. It is the end time now, as all know, for Israel is in the homeland. Any time now, he will come according to Malachi. How come it's the time? It's the end time now. As all know, for Israel is in her homeland. Any time now, he will come according to Malachi. When they see him, when we see him, he will be dedicated to the word. When this messenger comes, he will be indicated, pointed out in the Word, Revelation 10:7. Revelation 10:7 points the prophet out, the messenger. And God will vindicate his ministry. God will vindicate his ministry. He will preach the truth as did Elijah and be ready for the Mount Zion showdown. The messenger will be ready for this Mount Zion showdown. This one that Jesus was going to do. Remember he said a while ago? All right, I think I pointed this out last time, but I want to bring us back up on this before we go into it. Many will misunderstand him because they have been taught in certain way which they consider the truth. And when he comes against that, they will not believe. Even some true ministers will misunderstand the messenger because so much has been called God's truth by deceivers. Why will they misunderstand it? Because they're looking at somebody else and they called it wrong. So their ultimate was the other person, not the Word. But this prophet will come, and as the forerunner of the first coming cried, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world," even so will he no doubt cry out, "Behold the Lamb of God coming in glory." Now, did he not point out that that was Christ in the heavens there? He will do this. For even as John was the messenger of truth to the elect, so is this one the last messenger to the elect and word-born bride. He is the last one, the last messenger. And he points this out. He points out the Lamb of God coming in glory. It sounds a whole lot like an Eliezer too, right? Mm-hmm. Amen. So, all right, so we hit on this about yielding. So let's drop in and get a few of those before we go over here into this other part. Because in every church at every age, there was a message and the people yielded to that message. That's how they were put in, by yielding to that message. They put it above everything else. Like Rahab, she put it above everything else. Just like putting a little baby's arm in a sleeve hole. You see, he's just up and down and over everything else. See, he can't do it. Put on your coat, honey. He can't do it. Little arm is up and down around. It takes your steady hand. Oh, how glad I am. I can just yield my hand to Father and say, "Lord Jesus, I can't get in there. You help me. Put the coat on me." Talk about the word being put on you. I quit trying. Just let him do it. He can't do it if you're trying. I mean, we've said this a bunch of times. I know Brother Holmes used to get on that a lot. If the little baby keeps trying, "Oh, I can do it. I can do it." And he's just everywhere. He can't do it. Neither can you, neither can I, but if we'll just hold still and let him do it, just yield to him. "Here, Lord, here I am. Just let me be nothing. I yield. You put my hand in the right place." That's the victory. That's overcoming. Now you go home. Promise me, and you meditate on that scripture, because there's a lot more there than just reading over that. You put my hand in the right place. First of all, you have to quit trying to put your hand in the place. And second, you have to, and that you don't just quit and not be a Christian. That's not what he's talking about. He says that you are dependent on him to put your hand in the right place. Point out things to you, give you revelation. You have to quit trying in order to have that. You have to quit trying to do it yourself. I hope that makes sense. Now, if you look down through the church ages, you'll see that that's what God has been doing. In every church age, he's bringing them closer and closer to doing just that, to taking their hand and giving it to him, just giving up to him. Back there in the garden, where did he put them on? If you do it, then I'll do it. And ever since then, he's been taking that away. It's not if you do it, it's let me do it. When he restored it back there at Pentecost, what was the difference there? It wasn't if you do it, I'll do it. When he put it back at Pentecost, he manifested himself. And it was now, accept him. Let him do it. The thing you have to overcome is yourself, your idea, your thing, and surrender yourself to him. He'll overcome for you. He knows the way we don't. He'll overcome for you. Jesus said to them, we're going to go over into one more talking about this, and then we're going to move on with that other thought. Jesus said to them, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they that testify of me. They tell you what I am. Oh, I don't have to say I'm Methodist. The scriptures tell you what you are. The dramatized word of the prophet is predestinated right along with the bride that's to receive it. It's the same thing he's talking about right here. The scriptures, they are they that testify of me. He's telling them that they're scriptures and they're wrote about me, and I believe them. I am them. They tell you what I am. Oh, I don't have to say, now he switches it to us. I don't have to say I'm Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, or whatever. The life that you live, the words of God, if you're a part of that living word, how can you deny what you are? If you're a part of it, if you've become a part of the word, you can't deny it, period. And how can the word keep from confirming what you are if you are? If you are that word, how can the word keep from confirming that that's who you are? Brother, that's such consolation. See, people fight so many times trying to be Christians. And I don't think this is my own life that I'm talking about. I think everybody has fought trying to be a Christian. They're trying to fix this. And I remember reading something about Benjamin Franklin. Benjamin Franklin tried to be a perfect man. And he wrote down all these things that would be a perfect man. And he kept track of them every day of how well he was doing on each one of them. And he found out that while he got pretty good at some of them, he'd start getting bad at these. And then he'd fix those and he'd get bad at those. And he just finally just quit trying to be perfect. Well, I'm here to tell him there's no way that could have ever happened. But yet we still take that same thing over and we'll go over and get the Bible. The Bible is not an instruction book on how you are supposed to bring things to pass. The Bible is an instruction book on how God has done this for you and he's done this for you. And we stand on that. Brother Branham said Samson could reach back there and he could get a hold of them locks. And those locks meant the promise of God to him. They was always there. He could always touch them. And as David said, I've hid your word in my heart. It was always there. It was part of him. And how can you be part of the word and God not confirm it? He will confirm it. Just stay there. Don't worry about nothing else. Just that. How can a sheep be asked to manufacture wool? He can't manufacture wool. As long as he's a sheep, he will bear wool because he's a sheep. And a man don't have to work up nothing. If he's a Christian, he is because he is. He's a Christian because God made him that. That's what he's made up of. He is a Christian by nature. An apple tree is an apple tree because it's an apple tree. A peach tree is a peach tree because it's a peach tree. And a Christian is a Christian because Christ lives in that person. There's no other kind of Christian. I mean, there's people call themselves Christians. But Brother Bram said a Christian is one that Christ lives in. And Christian means Christ-like, not a membership. but a vindication. Not a membership, but it's God in you proving who you are. God producing through you just what a Christian is. It's you getting out of the way and letting God come in. You taking no thoughts. Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. There you are. That's the real Christian. Oh my, search the scriptures, he said. They are they that testify of me. And the prophet said that the scripture, what was wrote about Christ in this day, is what's going to testify about the bride, because he's going to fulfill that in her. All right, so one more quote here. I thought I had that. I did add one more. The Paul, and Paul's standing there, and this is when he's talking about Paul talking to Agrippa, and Agrippa saying, "You almost persuadeth me." And Paul standing there, knowing that the life was laying at stake. Agrippa's life was laying at stake. He said, the way that's called heresy, that's the way I worship the God of our fathers. Paul put it on the line. I don't follow him by this thing no more. I follow him by the way people call crazy. That's the way I worship the God of our fathers. It was called that because it was revealed to him what the great truth of Christ was. It was called crazy because the truth of Christ was revealed to him. And today people say it's a denomination. They say that's what makes you live like you're supposed to. It's Christ, Jesus Christ, the new birth revealed in you, that he has the preeminences, that he might express his words. And anything that he's promised in these last days, anything that he's promised in these last days, he can bring it to pass through his body as he's working. Amen. He's just exactly the word of God. It's just exactly the word of God made manifest. All right. And that's promised for today. That's all of the word that's promised for today. In each church age, there was a portion of the word. But this is all. This is when the seals are open. What is the attraction on the mountain? Now, this is such a good message. I want us to look through here and let's see if what he said was going to happen with this messenger happened. I went up in the canyon, climbed plumb up there where the eagles were flying around. I was just watching the deer standing there, and I knelt down to pray, raised up my hands, and a sword struck my hand. And I looked around and I thought, what's that? I'm not beside myself. Here's that sword in my hand, bright, shiny, glistening in the sun. And I said, now there's not people in miles of me, way up here in this canyon. Where did that come from? I heard a voice said, that's the king's sword. I said, a king knights a man with a sword. The voice come back and said, not a king's sword, but the king's sword. The word of the Lord said, fear not, it's only the third pull. And what's the third pull? It's the vindication of your ministry. What's the only thing going to vindicate his ministry? What did he say his ministry was? To forerun the second coming. And the third pull is to forerun the second coming. I said that wrong. It's only the third pull. It's the vindication of your ministry. So the only vindication of that would be Christ. It would be the coming. So the third pull has to be that. Vindication means what? Proves it's right. So if his ministry was that he would forerun the second coming, the only thing going to prove that is the second coming. That's the only thing going to prove it right. The only thing proved John right was when he walked down there to that river that day and he saw that dove coming out of heaven and he called it. That proved it. And then Jesus' ministry began to prove As Jesus began to do these things, it began to prove what John had said was true. And that's what he's saying the third pull is. That when God come down and handed him this sword, which Brother Branham said, it's the word. You've been given the word. It's been put in your hand. This is just before the seals opened. When I was baptized, so let's see if he says anything more like that. When I was baptizing my 17th person under this witness, and you know the rest of the story, and when I was standing there baptizing the 17th person, a light come down from heaven, shining down above there like a star falling from the heaven. A light coming down from the heaven. A voice said, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, your message will forerun the second coming unto all the world. This day, this scripture is fulfilled. Going down in the same message. And that next morning at 10 o'clock, sitting in there, my room there, about 10 o'clock, the angel of the Lord come down. He said, go to Tucson. You'll be northeast of Tucson, and there will come seven angels in the cluster, and it will shake the whole earth around you. And said, it'll be told you from there. How many remembers that? How many remembers that here? May way before it happened. There is men sitting right here in this building tonight was standing right there when it happened, and said the seven seals of the hidden mysteries of the entire Bible will be opened and fulfill Revelations 10. That in the seventh angel's message, these things should come to pass. This day, this scripture is fulfilled before our eyes. This day, this scripture is fulfilled. Now, how many knows what prompted this message? What made him preach this message? Remember when he preached birth pains? When he started to preach birth pains, and he started to open the Bible to the scripture, and the pages were stuck together, and one of the priests come and brought him a book. You remember that? Well, he didn't know what that was, and he said he was going down the road, and they stopped to get a hamburger. And he said when they was getting a hamburger, he was thinking about that, and he said all of a sudden the scripture come to him that he entered into the temple, and he read the scripture. And he stopped because the rest of it was for today, he said. And he handed it back to the priest. And that's what prompted this message. This day, this scripture is fulfilled. Now remember what Brother Bram said, that who's going to fulfill the part that he didn't fulfill when he was here in his earthly ministry? It was going to be fulfilled in the bride in this day. And who is the germatized word to the bride? The prophet. The prophet said, there will come a day that cannot be called day or night, night or day. Now you know where he's prophesying from. You know where he's talking that scripture's from. That's from Zechariah. I think it's Zechariah. Maybe more than one place. A dismal day. Zechariah 14. A dismal day, and I'm saying that because we're going to hit that in just a minute. But he's mentioning this. And remember, we took a series there, and we talked about what led up to those Shalom messages. What happened there with the moon going through his phases, and him showing it in the sky, and the last one being completely blacked out when the Pope went to Jerusalem for the first time. Okay, and then he goes on and he starts talking about come a day that cannot be called day or night. That's in Zechariah. I'm pretty sure that's where it's at. We'll read it here in just a little bit. The prophet said, there will come a day that cannot be called night or day, a dismal day, a lot of rain and fog, just enough just enough how to know how to join a church or put your name on a book. But it shall be light about the evening time. This day, this scripture is fulfilled. Did you hear that? This day, it can be called neither night or day, but there's going to be light at this evening time. This day, this scripture is fulfilled. That's Zechariah 14, and we'll read it here in just a minute. The same sun that rises in the east, the same sun that sets in the west, the same Son of God that come in the east and vindicated himself as God, manifested in flesh. The same Son, S-O-N, of God, that come in the east and vindicated himself as God manifested in flesh. Who is he talking about? Jesus. Is the same S-O-N of God in the Western Hemisphere here that's identifying himself among the church tonight. The same yesterday, today, and forever. The evening light of the sun has come. Zechariah. Mm-hmm. We have a thirst that no church age completely satisfied. For that age, they received it and they were sealed in. But there was a greater thirst. A thirst for that oneness, for that love affair. This day, this scripture is fulfilled before us. Amen. God's provided place of worship. But look at here. I'm trying to tell you that when the quickening power comes into you, it's Jesus Christ. When Jesus laid his hands on the sick, they got well. When Jesus had quickening power to quicken him as a man, he could look out and tell the thoughts that were upon the people, tell them what they were thinking about and what they done, have his back turned to them, tell them the same thing. Why do you reason in your hearts? The woman touched his garment. He said, "Who touched me?" He looked around and found her and said, "I perceive virtue has gone out of me. Your faith has made you whole." That's Jesus Christ. That proves that where the church is and what the real quickening power of God does to the human being. It does Christ. It brings Christ on the scene. Do you know? Do you believe that? Dear God, we've had a fight with Satan this afternoon on these microphones. Knowing them people probably didn't get half of it, the bounding around in the building like that. But I pray, God, that the Holy Spirit will take that which was meant to be, Lord, to let the people see that we're not some dead, dragging bunch of hope-sos. God, we are alive now. Quickened by the power of the resurrection of Christ. Jesus Christ lives in us. We believe that, Lord. We claim no glory of our own. Like on Mount Transfiguration, where every one of us is represented there. Where? On Mount Transfiguration, we were all represented there. There was Moses, the one that died and raised again. There was Elijah, the quickening saints that'll be caught up at the last day. Isn't that something how he's coming straight over to this? Quote, "Oh, they seen then, when they looked back, they seen Jesus only. We know, Lord, that we don't want people to see us. We're not here for that purpose. Far be it. But Lord, it does delight our hearts when we see Jesus glorified among us. When we see him glorified, when we see his word, which he is the Word. When we see, we can read it here in the Bible where he promised he would do it, then see him work it right in us. See him work it right in us, what he said he would do. Oh God, how it makes us humble, feel humble, that we know that his... Oh, how it makes us feel humble that we know that his living presence in modern events made clear by prophecy. So he said that what he was going to do in Christ, he does it in the bride. I'm just reading these quotes to point that out. When they begin to understand, then they begin. Now look what he just said a while ago. Let me back up here just for a second. He's talking about Mount Transfiguration. Oh, they seen then. When they look back, they didn't see nobody but Jesus. Then they look back, they seen Jesus only. Now, look what he says down here. When they began to understand that their friend, the man that they had ate with, talked with, associated with, fished with, laid in the woods, that fulfilled every word of the promised hour. There it was. They had walked 6 miles. It seemed a very short time, I suppose. And they had heard a 6-hour sermon on vindicated prophecy, a little longer than what we've had tonight, see? And what did Brother Branham say the messenger in the last age does? He goes back and he clears up all those loose ends. He plants the seed of the entire Bible. It was now setting kind of late in the evening time. The evening lights had come. It's the same time now, church. The evening lights has come. Hebrews 13:8. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, events made clear by prophecy, same today. So he's not talking about something that's gone on. He's talking about events that's happened now, and they're made clear by looking at the prophecy. The evening light promised by the prophet of God in Zechariah 14:7. So that's what we were talking about a while ago. May again open the true believer's eyes to the events that's taking place today. That's proved by the prophecies that we're at the end time. Jesus is coming. Now, I always thought that was interesting how you could say Jesus is coming. Jesus can be coming right now, and he is coming. It's not something in the future. You know what I'm saying? The other day, Melissa and Mom come down to see us on Friday, and they were coming. It wasn't something that was going to happen in the future. They were coming right then. Just I couldn't see them. They weren't here yet, but they were coming. I just thought that's interesting how he can say these sorts of things. Like he says things about the Malachi 4. We're waiting for the Malachi 4 messenger to come on the scene. And nobody had a problem with that. We're waiting. We're looking for him to come. We're waiting for him to come. And all these things. And nobody had a problem with, he's here right now. We see him. But when you say this about Jesus coming, They have problems about that. It's because of our ideas, Brother Bram said. Now, what is the attraction on the mountain? Now, we see a last day happening. We see something happening. It's happening right now. And he's going to go show where in the scripture that this is happening, this last day happening. Let's turn a few pages in Zechariah and see what he said about it. Let's turn it over then for the last days. So he talked about Zechariah 9 was for back there. Now let's turn it over for the last days, Zechariah 14. Let's turn it over then for the last days. That was the middle age, Zechariah 9. Let's turn now to the last days. So let's turn over to Zechariah, the 14th chapter, and begin with the 4th verse. And listen, and we're going to read down a portion of the scripture, about 9 verses. He's pointing at the last days, Zechariah 14, 4 through 9. Listen close, and it's prophesying of his coming, the last days. It's prophesying of his coming. And what did he say 14, 7 was? It was the Son of Man in this dismal day. Did we just read that up here? The evening light promised by the prophet of God in Zechariah 14, 7. That was what we read just a few minutes ago, just a few seconds ago, that quote right above it. Now he's coming down here and he wants to read 4 through 9. And so he's pointing this at the last day. Listen close, it's the prophesying of his coming. Zechariah is prophesying of the coming, the second coming. Listen close now. This is thus saith the Lord. It's the scriptures. Zechariah 14, remember Zechariah 9, what it said? And they didn't recognize it. Zechariah 9 called his first coming, and Zechariah 14 is calling his second coming. They don't recognize it either, he says. What is it today? Zechariah 14, speaking of his coming. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives again, which is before Jerusalem, on the east, on the Mount of Olives, shall cleave in the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west. And there shall be a very great valley. Half of the mountain shall be moved towards the north and half towards the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach from Azel. Yea, ye shall flee, like you fled in the days of the earthquake, in the days of Uzziah the king of Judah. Another earthquake, he says, splitting open the earth. If you want to follow out a scripture here, notice in the 5th verse, it applies that the cleaving of the Mount of Olives is due to an earthquake. And this is confirmed in Isaiah 29:6 and Revelation 16:9. Exactly. What is it? The same prophet told of his first coming, seeing his second coming. So Zechariah told of his first one. He also saw a second one. Notice, as in the days of the earthquake. See, now brother, if you'll notice what the title of this message is. What's the title of the message? What is the attraction on the mountain? And it was going to shake. It was going to be shake the earth around him. Another earthquake splitting open the earth. Okay, so he goes on down. Exactly. What is it? The same prophet told of his first coming, seeing his second coming. Notice, as in the days of the earthquake, see what the earthquakes are doing? See the predictions of them? See what the earthquakes are doing and see the predictions of them? And the Lord your God shall come and all of his saints, and the Lord your God shall come at this earthquake. The Lord your God shall come. He's talking about the last days. And all his saints with thee. And it shall come to pass in that day, when the Lord God comes with all of his saints, it shall come to pass in that day, hallelujah, in that day, that the light shall not be clear or dark. You see where he's putting this, where the Lord God comes with all of his saints, where this earthquake is happening. But it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that in the evening time it shall be light. O God, it shall be light about the evening time. Same prophet, and the people is blind. What's the attraction? Let's read a couple more verses. And it shall be in that day that the living waters shall go forth from Jerusalem. And what is Jerusalem? Brother Ram said, it's God, our mother. He said, I'll read it to you here in just a minute. But it shall be in that day, in the day where there is dimsel light, but there is a light. It shall be in that day that the living waters shall go forth from Jerusalem, half of them towards the former sea, and half towards the hinder sea. In the summer and winter shall it be, the gospel going forth both to Jew and to Gentile. In this day, and the Lord shall be king over the earth in that day, and there shall be one Lord, and his name one. His bride is together. He come with his saints. What happened when he opened the seals? He called for her to come to him. So let's talk about this Jerusalem and the water going forth, this gospel going forth to both Jew and Gentile. And when they went down and got the water and brought it back, he's talking about David, his soldiers. His soul thirst was so greater, not for Bethlehem, but from Jerusalem, his soul was. David was from Jerusalem, so that's really what his soul was thirsting for, not just the water that was there. So he sacrificed the water, said, I wouldn't drink it. He poured it out upon the ground. See, his soul was more thirsty for God, Jerusalem, than it was to satisfy the quench of his thirst of his body. Now, think about what we've been talking about this morning, about yielding, about the sister who baked the cake and give it to the prophet first, about all these things. Now, you think about what he's saying here. David, instead of taking it to satisfy his own thirst, he sacrificed it because he had a greater thirst. His soul was more thirsty for God than it was to satisfy or quench the thirst of his body with a good cool water. He poured it upon the ground. See, the house of God, the soul. Now he's going to explain a little bit. The house of God, the soul cooling waters of Jerusalem, which is above. Jesus said in John 6:33, I'm the bread of life. I'm the bread of life, Bethlehem, house of God. Our church, earthly church of God, the church that's here on earth. We love to go to church here on earth, but greater is Jerusalem. Greater is that water coming from God. Jerusalem, which is above, which is God. Jerusalem above, which is God. Greater is that soul's thirst to be there with him than it would to be just satisfied yourself with joining a church somewhere. See, joining a church don't satisfy that thirst. It's real, brother and sister. That thirst is real. That's why I say to people, don't count that as small. That's the greatest gift ever. Then it would be to be just satisfy yourself with joining a church somewhere, see? Joining a church don't satisfy that thirst. David provided it here, proved it here. The waters right from the house of God, see? He poured it out upon the ground to find favor to get a cool drink from God. Isn't that beautiful? How in the world? There's no man on this earth could dig that out. God is the only one could dig those things out. To get a cool drink from God, from Jerusalem. Even all that greater than the thirst that's in you is the thirst, the soul thirst for God. Remember what he said? The battle is It's to overcome yourself. Notice Jerusalem. The word Jerusalem is from above. And the Bible said, which is the mother of us all. And Christ is our mother. We realize that God is our mother, for we are born of Him. The word simply means peace. Jerusalem. Shalom. You know, the more I read this, the more those messages, shalom, meant even more and more. Because he's talking about the message going forth to both Jew and Gentile. The word simply means peace. Jerusalem. Shalom. So when he preached those messages, shalom, he was saying Jerusalem. He was saying the life of God. Peace be unto you. The rivers of life are flowing from Jerusalem. There is light at the evening time. Which means peace. Jeru shalom. See, means peace. Great. I didn't know that. Great. Would be the thirst, greater should be the thirst of any soul for the waters of life. In that day, the waters of life will be flowing from Jerusalem to both Jew and Gentile. Then, to say you belong to a church, say you thirst for the waters of life, not to be a church member. The thirst of the soul can't be satisfied, the real true thirst, with that joining church. It can be perverted. You can think you are all right when you join a church, but that isn't it. That won't satisfy that genuine holy thirst from God. It's just simply won't do it. It's not there. That what it needs, the holy thirst from God, it's not there in that denomination or something else. But flowing from Jerusalem, the anointed, the germatized seed through the prophet. The water flowing from Jerusalem in this day. Brother, isn't that amazing? I just, and there's more. There's a lot more in this message, really. So we'll get on some more of this message on Wednesday night. But and then we're going to go back and pick up, Lord willing, we're going to go back and pick up from part 66. We'll pick that up after this next service, I think. But we'll just see what the Lord, how the Lord leads on it. But can you think about that? Can you think about how many times in your life that there was those two thirsts there and you didn't recognize them as those two thirsts? That God had to bring that to pass. He had to do all those things. We got in the way. We tried to satisfy it with this. We tried to satisfy it with that. Always thinking we had some little something in it. See, if you're trying to satisfy that thirst yourself somehow, in some way, bringing this word to pass, it won't work. But the waters are flowing from Jerusalem. And we've heard them. We've heard the gospel today. Amen. Let's stand. And I saw a song in there I wanted to sing a while ago. Let's see if I can find it again. That's true. And I just thought about how that, you know, I forgot I had a thought there on that, about the two thirsts there. One of them, people try to satisfy it with the denomination when it won't work. And Brother Branham said the showdown between the denomination and the true word comes in this day. And Christ is the one does that. He's the only one can do it. And you talked about there not being a denomination for all this time. What is the difference between a denomination and not being a denomination? It's being, you're following Christ all the time. Where the pillar of fire moves, you move. It's that, all the time. No arguing with it, no questioning it. Packing up and moving. I don't see that song. All right, well, let's sing that one you mentioned, Thirst. Let's sing Thirst. Oh, here it is, Living Words. Let's sing that. Jerusalem, and I don't know how it'll go out, but there's not too many standing with Israel, but at the same time, all the nations, all the denominations were against Jerusalem, that living water that was going forth. We can talk about that this morning, how that he'll plant the seed of the entire Bible, and they'll reject him. They were against that, and the waters come forth. So there's light. Amen. I so appreciate what he's done for us. And let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for the message, Lord. I know that as a preacher, I'm not much of one, Lord. But your word, it means so much to us, Lord. And seeing, Lord, how that the prophet could not have known those things on his own, Lord. No man could have known these things on their own. Lord, it just proves more and more how that the bride, having not taken thought of her own, Lord, knows what you want because the prophet brought it, Lord. You gave us the word for this hour. And may we stand upon it until you bring it all to pass the way you see fit and the way you want it to be, Lord. And may you, as we read here a while back, Lord, how that you pointed to Jesus and said, this is him. And then how one day that you would point at her and say, this is her. Lord, let us be a part of that her, the one that you are in and bringing to pass your word in this hour. We ask it now, that you'll go with us and keep us to the next time. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.